You know, when I say I ain't losing them, it's 6 o'clock there over in Puerto Vallarta, Mexico, where we go next with my very good friend, Jessica Rivera, who has been so instrumental for our veterans around the world. That's right, with benefits and everything else of how he is working with our very own congressman here in the 1st Congressional, and Nick LaLota. What a job Jesse has done. Veteran, Navy corpsman back in the day. And gives us a couple of minutes. He set his alarm 2 hours ago. He wasn't taking any chances. And we respect that in a very big way. And we say very early, good morning to you, sir, at 6:04 where you are. Welcome aboard.
Good morning, Jay. How are you?
Doing great. Doing great. Crazy day today, but it's good having you. We had Jesse on yesterday. He called in at the 11th hour. We loved it. We had him only on for 15. I got you on for about 20 now, sir. So let's do a little recap yesterday, quick synopsis for those who are just tuning in, missed yesterday if they did, and tell us exactly what's happening, what to look forward to, how vital this is, a huge, huge piece of news coming into play here. So I'm going to give you the floor. Go ahead.
Thank you, Jay. Yeah, so to recap for your listeners who are hearing about this for the first time, my name is Jesse Rivera. I'm the commander of American Legion Post 12 Banderas Bay down in warm and sunny Puerto Vallarta, Jalisco, Mexico, south of the border. And for the last few years, I've been on the radio with Jay about a dozen times and talking to members of the press and trying to spread awareness about issues that are affecting veterans that live and travel abroad. And during the pandemic, some issues came up that we've spoken about on Jay's program a number of times, in particular with regards to the what's called the VA Farm Medical Program. Now, the VA Farm Medical Program, unlike your benefits back in the States for our veteran listeners, does not cover anything and everything. It only covers what they call, service-connected conditions that are VA-rated. Now, during the pandemic, we ran into a bit of a situation because Section 1724 of Title 38 USC, which is the law that basically bars the VA from paying for non-service-connected care for veterans that are living and traveling abroad once they cross the border of the U.S., basically prohibited the VA through the Foreign Medical Program from reimbursing veterans or the hospitals treated them for things like COVID-19 testing and treatment during the pandemic. And the really, really sad part is that even if a veteran was rated 100% PNT like myself, we were unable to get things like COVID-19 testing and treatment during the pandemic due to this law, Section 1724. 1724 of Title 38 U.S. Code, right?
Yeah.
So the real catch is, that we've spoken about this before, Jay, so I'm just trying to catch your listeners up,
yeah,
is that if you are 100% disabled, you're 100% service connected and permanent in total, right? Mm-hmm. Your spouse is entitled to what we know as CHAMP VA, which works like more like a traditional insurance program. And under CHAMP VA, right, for veterans that are rated 100% PNT, it covers the spouse, the children, the elderly parents, and the caregivers of veterans that are rated 100% permanent total. Now, that's a good thing. I'm glad that that program exists. But as we've spoken about before, that CHAMP VA coverage extends beyond the U.S. border for the spouses, children, elderly parents, and caregivers. But the coverage that a veteran would get at 100% PNT basically significantly drops the second you cross the U.S. border due to Section 1724 of Title 38 USC. And so we had situations during the pandemic, and I'm using the pandemic just because it's the most recent example that really, really brought this issue to light for us. We had many, many cases down here during the pandemic in Puerto Vallarta and in other posts in Mexico City like Chapala, where disabled veterans rated 100% PNT were not able to get something like COVID-19 testing and treatment, but the spouses, children, elderly parents, and caregivers that have CHAMP VA through them Even if they were not U.S. citizens or legal residents in the United States, by the way, we're able to get those things. You know, as we mentioned before, Jay, I just don't think that's right. I think our veterans have paid a heavy, heavy price, especially those with really, really high ratings. You know, you can make the argument.
And let me, Jess, let me stop you there and just tell the audience, Jesse has never stopped working on this, folks. You know, listen, I've known Jesse for years. I was introduced to him. And we became fast friends, been on the show, as he mentioned, about a dozen times, probably more. But in essence, his workmanship, his finesse, his prowess in making sure that his fellow mates, veterans, in and around through the days of COVID and everything else, getting sick, he wanted to make sure, and he was right. He was right on as far as making sure that these individuals are covered. Just because they're abroad does not mean anything as far as not being covered with benefits. That's an absolute disgrace. And if it wasn't for Jesse, you know, this thing, who knows where this thing would be right now. But I just wanted to kind of insert that, Jess, because you have been absolutely incredible in making sure that you are fighting for your right and others. Go ahead.
Well, I appreciate your kind words, sir. And, you know, you're exactly right. It's not right that our veterans, particularly our disabled veterans, especially when they're rated 100% PNT, that they are not getting treated the same once they cross the border. But their spouses, children, elderly parents, and caregivers, excuse me, are getting treated the same. And, you know, it just makes no sense. You know, you can make an argument that we deserve equal treatment under the law at the very least. You know, per the Constitution, we deserve equal treatment under the law. But you could argue that a disabled veteran rated 100% PNT, that should be the bare minimum. You know, if anything, we should be getting better benefits than our spouses and children, not worse, right? Yeah. So, and this issue doesn't just, we use COVID-19, obviously, because during the pandemic, just prior to the pandemic, there were about 55,000 veterans that were registered with the VA Farm Medical Program, according to the FOIL that I filed back in, I think, early 2020. And but now, according to the FOIL that I filed last fall, so I've been filing one basically every year to kind of track the growth, there were 71,473 as of early January of this year, right? Yeah. So you're looking at an increase of about 25%, so 17,324 new registrants. 24% increase between 2019 and October 2023. And of the 71,473, 17,324, so 25%, are rated 100% permanent total. So as you can see there, like I said, 29% increase over the last 5 years. That's a significant increase in registrants. Yep. And about a quarter of them are rated 100% PNT. So there's definitely a growing demand for the program that we've seen over the last 5 years. And again, it's not just about COVID, but I think COVID is the best example for why the program needs to be modernized, updated, and changed.
100%.
You know, because it brought to light the general issue of if you're disability, right, is not service connected, it's not covered. So again, this doesn't just apply to COVID. If a disabled veteran is 100% PNT and has a heart attack in a foreign country, they're not covered because it's not service connected. They get hit by a car, not covered, not service connected. If they break their leg out when they're out in town, not service connected, again, not covered. But the thing that makes no sense, again, is the wife, the kid, the elderly parent, the caregiver that gets CHAMP VA through the marriage of the spouse to the veteran, they are covered, right? So it's an issue of equal treatment under the law, right?
Yeah.
And
let me interject. Jesse, yes. You know, he's been working so hard at this, and I'm going to move it along a little bit, Jess, for you. But, sure. I mean, you can imagine, you know, I'll just reference the fact that, you know, we've done so many spots with the Northport VA and everything else and our veterans here, as you know, Jess, in Suffolk County. I mean, you lived there forever and did some great work here. And you know the deal. I mean, you know the deal as far as how our veterans are being handled here, which hasn't been great. It really has not been great. And it seems to be that of, you know, around the globe in various areas, thus what you have been working on. That's got to change. You know, I'm tired of politicians getting up in front of a camera, Chuck Schumer, and basically stating the case and nothing ever happens. And it's got to change. You have moved the proverbial needle in a sense where you're working with various politicians. That would include, by the way, our fine, fine congressman, Mr. Nick Lolota of the 1st Congressional. I know you've been working very hard in unison and trying to get something substantial involved here. Go ahead, my friend.
Well, Jay, on that note, I'm glad you brought that up. I'm pleased to report to your listeners that in addition to, you know, all the radio segments I've done in the last 2 years, getting in the news, reaching out to members of Congress, writing letters to members of Congress, you know, going on social media, just getting the general awareness out there about the issue itself, I'm pleased to announce that actually several months ago, I reached out to Congressman Nick Lolota, who I've known a long time.
Yep.
And as, for those of you that don't know, Congressman Nick Lolota is a U.S. Navy veteran. He was a lieutenant in the United States Navy. So he's one of us. The issue is very near and dear to him. And we've had a number of conversations over the last year or two. But about 7 months ago, I reached out to him and said, hey, you know, let's look into trying to change this law.
Right.
And he was, I got to say, he was very, very interested and very receptive to what I had to say and the rest of the veterans in my post when we spoke to him. To date, we've had about four different Zoom meetings so far with the congressman and his staff, with Brian Sisler and Kate Herschel, the legislative director over there. And we've gone over the numbers with them. We told them about the 71,000 veterans that are living abroad that are under this program. And we brought up the issue of how, you know, the 17,324 veterans out of that 71,000, how they're rated permanent in total. They're not getting equal treatment under the law. They're not getting the same benefits outside the U.S., but their spouses, children, elderly parents, and caregivers are through the CHAMP VA program, even if they're not U.S. citizens or legal residents. And, you know, I got to tell you, to his credit, he jumped right on this, Jay. He jumped right on this. He's been, him and his staff have been there every step of the way. Again, we've had about four meetings with them via Zoom. We basically put together a very, very large legislative advisory committee.
Right.
On that committee, I have other post commanders from the Department of Mexico, now the Department of Latin America. We recently changed names. We got Mike Brennan from Mexico City Post 2. We got Randall Butler from the Post in Lake Post 7 in Lake Chapala. Myself from Post 12, Banderas Bay in Puerto Vallarta. We got some department-level officials, Bill Schetz, the department adjutant, now again, now the Department of Latin America. We also have several hospital directors that are on the committee, including Dr. Ian with Lakeside Medical Group. We also have the director of Hospital ABC in Mexico City, and several other VSOs and, you know, VA disability attorneys, and also some other former elected officials, and even a U.S. ambassador. And so the team has gotten very, very large. And like I said, it started off with a smaller group, and we've expanded that group. And during our course of our meetings with the congressman and his staff, particularly Ryan Sisler, we basically let them know, you know, everything that's going on with this particular issue. And we've done our best to give them both the veterans' perspective of how we were affected during the pandemic, but also we continue to be affected because, like I said, if you have a heart attack, you break the leg, you're still not covered. So it's still an issue. It's not just a pandemic issue. So we've given them the, you know, I guess you could say the overview, both from the veterans' perspective, but the hospitals as well. As you know, the FMP program is kind of like the stepchild that doesn't get attention in the VA, right? So their office is very small. They don't have a very large staff, right? And unfortunately, during the pandemic, for example, there was a federal hiring freeze. They lost a lot of employees due to attrition and retirement and things like that. And they weren't able to replace them. So I guess you could say the reimbursement, both for veterans and for the hospitals, went from being, you know, 1 or 2 months, maybe 3 months, to being 6 months to a year.
Yeah.
And so there were a lot of foreign hospitals that stopped billing the F&P program during the pandemic. And that was a real shame. And it was a real logistical obstacle that we had to deal with, Jay, because we went from having a very, at least in Mexico, our post went from having a lot of options in terms of hospitals, clinics, providers, pharmacies that were willing to build a foreign medical program direct. All of a sudden, we found ourselves with very few options because no hospitals and clinics and providers, or very few rather, wanted to continue billing FMP.
And right.
That made it even worse because veterans then had to pay out of pocket for, in some cases, for treatment that was very, very expensive, even if it was service-connected, right? So the issue got worse and worse and worse as the pandemic on. I'm pleased to report that since then, the federal hiring freeze obviously is now over. The F&P office actually hired several new people. They didn't just replace the ones they lost. They hired a couple additional ones. So they are starting to catch up, and their reimbursement times, both for veterans that are seeking reimbursement and also the hospitals that treat them, they have come back down to somewhat normal, time.
Yeah.
But that basic issue still remains. You know, we're not getting equal treatment under the law, even if we're 100%.
Which you're trying to change right now, along with the congressman. So.
I'm pleased to report, actually, the second to last meeting that we had with the congressman, he basically said it's a go. He assigned his staff, particularly Ryan Sisler, to start writing up a draft bill based on the framework that we laid out for him. And that bill will essentially amend Section 1724 of Title 38 USC and allow the VA to pay for non-service connected care for veterans that are rated 100% permanent in total, right?
So unbelievable. It's monumental. And based on Champ VA and everything else, families taking care of, but not the veterans themselves, is unconscionable. And you have moved mountains, my friend, since the beginning of time when we were starting to talk about this. Fast forward all the way up to, you should be very proud of yourself.
Thank you, sir.
Jess, I mean, really just a tremendous job. So in essence, about a minute left. We'll have you on as many times as we need to, by the way, to update the folks and everything else. You'll alert me and everything else. We'll get you back on. As always, you have a platform here, but go ahead.
Well, real quick, before I go, we got some whipped cream on top for this issue, and I'll try to make it as brief as I can, but,
go ahead.
You know, obviously, Congress is very worried right now about, fiscal constraints and things like that. And
right.
You know, we're running up the national debt. And so I was very cognizant of that going into my discussions with Congressman Melota and his staff. And so I'm pleased to report that actually, even with this expansion in coverage for the 17,000 veterans that are rated 100% PNT, it's going to have very little fiscal impact whatsoever to the federal government and the U.S. taxpayers, because one of the things that I decided to do was to look for savings that the FMP program could realize that would help pay the cost of this bill. And so, for example, right now the FMP program is not doing direct deposits. You know, every other federal agency, Social Security, every other part of the VA, your GI Bill, you know, your compensation, your pension, they do direct deposit, which cuts down on waste, fraud, and abuse, and a misuse of resources, right? The VA F&P program doesn't do that. They're still doing paper checks. So they're losing millions of dollars a year in waste, fraud, and abuse by not having direct deposit. In addition to that, also, and again, I'll try to make this as quick as possible, but in the past...
Yeah, because we got to go, Jazz. I got a tight schedule. Wrap it up.
Yeah, so in the past, the VA mobile app on iOS and Android wasn't that great, but to the VA's credit, they've done a great, great job in updating that app. And, now you can look at your decision letters, your ratings code sheet, you can order your prescriptions, check on your compensation and GI Bill payments, right? What we suggested to the VA is if you digitized, right, the submission of foreign medical program registrations, claims, submissions for reimbursement, both for veterans and the hospital.
Yeah.
And you also allow the tracking of FMP payments, that would result in millions and millions of dollars a year, less in waste, fraud, and abuse. And actually, when you add up the numbers, get to the numbers at a later date, it actually pays for the bill, Jay, or at least most of it. So,
well, there it is. Report. So, listen, Washington, with all that they have to contend with, they don't have to worry about much because it always comes down to dollars and cents. We know about the debt that has been accrued already. We know about bills right now on the table regarding wars that are happening around the world. So, in essence, it's a no-brainer here. So, we're hoping
it's wonderful.
We're hoping that Lolota.
We're going to massively.
Yeah, we're hoping Lolota really pushes again.
We're going to massively expand with this bill. Benefits abroad for our disabled veterans that are 100% PNC. But the great thing, Jay, is we found cost savings. So it's going to cost little to none to the U.S. taxpayer because we're going to modernize the VA for our medical program at the same time, Jay.
Well, listen, I can't thank you enough. You will keep me posted all throughout here, whatever we need to do to announce. We will. By the way, Mr. Siegel says hello. He loves hearing you. You know, so in essence, you know what I'm talking about, too.
Tell him Batman says hello.
There you go. Anyway, listen, you stay well. Your work is incredible. You broke it on our program. You are never going to be shut out here. Your proudness and everything else, my friend. I look forward to the next time, and we'll chat a little bit later on. How's that?
Yes, sir. In a few more weeks, we'll have a draft bill. So I'll be happy to check in with you in about 2 or 3 weeks, sir.
Sounds good, and we'll talk in betwixt and between. You stay well. Say hi to Lily and all right?
Will do. Thanks for having me on, sir. Take care. God bless.